value beyond expectation, on time and on budget, guaranteed. Give renovations a call at 831-620-1700 or visit renovations at their website, renovations.net. And on the show tomorrow, we'll have Dusty Schallenbach from Alitronics, that's Paperless Receipts, and Adam Thorngate Guttenlund from Greener Cleaners. So listen in, and thank you for giving me part of your day. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr. Hammer and nails to fashion some shelter in Myanmar after the cyclone. The first plane load of Red Cross supplies has arrived, but it'll take a fleet that stays busy for a while to get the job done. And Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.S. represents that kind of capability.
If we cannot get in directly, we would be prepared to work creatively with others in any way we could to help.
Aid workers say there may be 100,000 people dead and a million plus homeless, and without enough food, water, medicine, and supplies, injury and disease will be taking many more victims soon. The U.S. House has approved a bill to help people poised to lose their homes with new mortgages in this country.
The package is aimed at stabilizing the awful housing market and stopping the frightening spiral of foreclosures and ruined neighborhoods. Michigan Democrat Sander Levin.
What more do we need to impel us to act than the plight of families, the plight of communities?
The bill would make it easier for those in deep trouble to refinance with federally backed mortgages to avoid foreclosure, provide tax breaks for first-time homebuyers, and funds for state and local governments to buy up abandoned houses. President Bush says it's a taxpayer bailout and threatens a veto. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Trouble for Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, accused of taking bribes from an American businessman from 1999 to 2003 when he was mayor of Jerusalem. Olmert says they were campaign contributions, not bribes, and he has no plans to step down short of an indictment.
This comes at a very sensitive time of Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. The U.S. is pushing for a peace agreement by the end of the year. Obviously, Olmert is going to now be very distracted.
CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem. Interpol got its man, a suspected pedophile, nabbed in New Jersey, tops on their wanted list.
I believe that they had 800-some images of this individual engaging in sexual activity with underage boys Southeast Asia.
That's Kyle Hutchins, special agent in charge at Immigration and Customs in Newark, New Jersey. Barack Obama picked up two more superdelegates today.
I'm not the nominee until I'm at the convention and receive the nomination.
And it could take an old-fashioned fight for the delegates at the convention to get that job done. Hillary Clinton shows no signs of tossing in the towel.
I think we want to keep this going so that the people of West Virginia's voices are heard and their votes are counted.
After West Virginia, she went on to campaign in South Dakota and in Oregon today. President Bush took off a little early for the Crawford Ranch today. He has a wedding to attend this weekend. He'll be giving away the bride, his daughter Jenna, to Henry Hager. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 52 points on the day. The Nasdaq was up nearly 13 points. And oil, $123.69 a barrel, was up about 16 cents. This is CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Your lovely tree, attacked by insects. Backed by Bayer's proven science, Bayer Advance created Tree and Shrub Insect Control, the no-spray product that protects trees for 12 months. Just mix and pour, and your tree is shielded, roots to top. Now strengthen and beautify with protect and feed formulas. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Help Bayer Advance and the Arbor Day Foundation restore our national forests. Visit BayerAdvance.com/trees for more details.
The birth control patch is under the magnifying glass, some researchers saying don't go with it.
According to some reports, the birth control patch increases a woman's chance of getting blood clots. Public Citizen's Dr. Sidney Wolf says it's because women who use the patch absorb more estrogen.
It's a level of estrogen that's higher than the amount that is allowed in pills. How this snuck through is not clear.
Fewer women are getting prescriptions for the patch, but they still number in the millions.
A number of women are probably unwittingly risking themselves.
Wolf claims the patch offers no better contraception than the pill, so it isn't worth the extra risk. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
University of Iowa researchers say the most important thing you can bring to the job interview is a great handshake. Firm and confident, not weak and wimpy, but no bone crushers, please, either. The handshake, they said, was the most important part of the first impression and set the stage for everything that follows. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
On three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors, and it's stainless steel.
I know. Oh. I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Right now at the Home Depot, get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more. It's a great way to use your tax rebate. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 14th in U.S. only. See store for details.
This summer, when you're ready to take the family out on the road, make sure your car is just as prepared. Come into the Sears Auto Center this week where all Michelin tires are on sale. Purchase four new Michelin tires and get them all installed for free after mail-in rebate. The Sears Auto Center is open 7 days a week plus nights, and you can shop while your car is being serviced. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome. So come into the Sears Auto Center and reimagine your summer travel. Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Free tire installation has a $56 value. Offer valid 5408 to 51008.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your official Walmart greeter, and my name's Peter. I'd probably make a little more at Walmart, actually. We are ready. Ready to roll here on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Lots to talk about. Plenty of people to talk with, including you. You can call in anytime at 888-5-PETER-B. Got that number stored in your fancy cell phone, eh?
Ready, steady, go!
It's 1-888-573-8372. My email is available to you anytime, peter@peterbcollins.com or humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Either one will get through to me.
Ready, steady, go!
In a moment, Faz Shakir will join us from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. Lots of news from Washington today. Later this hour, we'll meet Thomas Malia, co-editor of a book from Freedom House called Today's American, How Free. And this book chronicles the rollback in our rights as American citizens. And it's been sharp, acute in my opinion, over the last 7 years. Next hour, Scott Dick joins us, per usual, our expert on military and veterans issues, because he served, retired at the rank of major. We're going to talk about Admiral Mike Mullen saying, maybe it's time to retire, don't ask, don't tell. And we're also going to meet Colby Bazell, an Army vet from Iraq, who was comfortably enjoying his higher education on the GI Bill in San Francisco, when recently a notice arrived in his mailbox recalling him to duty. We'll talk with Colby coming up next hour. Then in our free speed zone, a difficult topic for me, and probably for you too. San Francisco's leading liberal talk show host, Bernie Ward, who was fired from his job at KGO Radio after being indicted on 3 counts of sending and receiving child pornography, has decided to change his plea. And about now, he's in a federal courtroom in San Francisco, pleading guilty, and it remains to be seen whether leniency will be offered in sentencing because he declined to go to trial. But we'll talk about these difficult issues and
the trust I have for Bernie, and, well, it's a very difficult issue. I just have to be candid with you about that. We'll do that in the Free Speech Zone in our third hour today. Meantime, Faz Shakir returns to our program. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, presides over the blog at thinkprogress.org, all services of the Center for American Progress. Faz, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you, Peter?
Not too bad. And I just want to spell your name because you were the subject of an email exchange with one of our weekend listeners in Seattle after your comments last week. He wanted that gas tax holiday, Faz.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you and I pretty well ripped it up. And
well, it's about $30 for the summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not even half a tank, really. Anyway, Faz spells his name F-A-I-Z, Faz Shakir, S-H-I-A-K-I-R. I almost blew that. S-H-A-K-I-R. And that's Shakira without the extra I, if you happen to like her act. And so if you have any issues about Faz, spell his name right when you send me an email. Next time we'll put it in the subtitles. And Faz,
pronounced Faz like Jet.
Yeah. And what are some of the most unusual ways that people misspell your name or mispronounce it? Faz?
Mispronouncing is the most common because it's a lot of people say Faz or Faiz or Faz.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Faz like Jet.
Yeah, Faz like jazz. Well, Faz, one of the breaking stories today regards the suicide last week of the D.C. madam who actually operated from a house in Vallejo, California, not far from me. Deborah Jean Palfrey committed suicide in her mom's house in Florida. And today the Senate Ethics Committee essentially dismissed the ethics complaint against David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana, who was named by Ms. Palfrey in the court actions where she was essentially trying to, embarrass some of her former clients as a way of avoiding having them testify against her or maybe getting one of them to come forward and testify, oh, that's right, it was just fantasy. We never had sex with these escort girls that we called Deborah Jean Palfrey for. But this is just another shameful indication of the way in both the House and the Senate that the Ethics Committee process is completely broken. It has no credibility with the American people. And, Faz, I shout out again, we need an outside ethics panel. We cannot allow our elected officials to police themselves because they don't.
Well, Speaker Pelosi has been engaged in this battle, and to her great credit, she's actually proposed a plan that is very much along the lines of what you're talking about, an independent group that would assess the ethics complaints and then make recommendations. And she has encountered major opposition, not only from Republicans, but right. also from members of her own party, the Democratic Party, because they just don't want to. They feel like it will be a tool for a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. Which is obviously always a concern, and it depends on who's going to be on this independent panel, of course. But I think that the concept and the theory are so sound that it is worthy of trying to make it work and figuring out how best to do it.
Well, Pelosi herself served on the ethics panel that disciplined Newt Gingrich, and
right.
that actually had some effect. I mean, he resigned as Speaker and left the House in a form of disgrace. He's more or less been rehabilitated, I guess, by the media. But she does have a true history with the ethics process and I think believes in how it should work. You're right. Just to single out one member, I think Louise Slaughter, she's from Buffalo, a Democrat in the House. She's great on almost every other issue, I enjoy talking with her. She's the only New Yorker with a Southern accent that I've run into. But I heard quotes from her opposing this legislation. And essentially, Faz, it's been watered down so that there's now a new window to the ethics office.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's basically an effort to just empower the ethics committee to do less. It's unfortunate. I would only add to this whole dialogue here is that over the last 3, 4, 5 years now, the Congress has undergone its worst period of corruption in a very long time. And you've seen Duke Cunningham, you've seen Bob Ney, Rick Renzi, and on down the line.
And let me just interject there, because those three people, two of whom have gone to jail, never had any contact with the ethics process.
And That's exactly the point I was about to make.
Okay.
If you had some of the worst scandals that went through Congress that were coordinated throughout all of Congress. I mean, it wasn't just one person. It was a bacteria. It was a cancer that was affecting the entire body. So of course, it was one of those odd situations where somebody was found to have done something terrible, but because it infected so many other people, nothing happened because the colleagues didn't want to take action against Cunningham or against Bob May because their fingerprints were also on dealing with a lot of the lobbyists or engaging in the same kinds of practices that had brought down those two individuals. And so that's the corruption and the mentality that you got to end.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a year and a half ago, there was the Saturday night raid on the office of Congressman Bill Jefferson, the Louisiana Democrat with the $90,000 or $100,000 in FBI cash in his freezer. And he is still in office. The Ethics Committee has essentially been locked down and unable to proceed with anything meaningful about him. And that raid was deemed a violation of the speech and debate clause on an appeal to the Supreme Court. And we had an interesting raid in Republican circles this week when Scott Block, the Office of Special Counsel, his office and his home were raided by more than two dozen FBI agents. Now, while Scott Block reports to the White House, his office is not on the campus of the White House itself, but that's about as close as we've come to a raid of a federal posse on a federal government facility like that.
You know, Peter, you and I, we have a lot of complaints about the Bush Justice Department, and it is a very politicized branch of government that has engaged in a lot of ridiculous things over the past 8 years. But to its great credit, it has engaged and fought corruption on Capitol Hill and other places much more aggressively than the actual ethics officers of Congress itself. And so the reason that Cunningham was brought down, that May was brought down, that now Scott Block and even Jefferson at some point, the reason why these people will go down is because the Department of Justice and particularly the FBI has so aggressively gone after them and pursued the matter even when Congress was trying to fight them off with a stick.
Now, would the Gonzales Justice Department have done this? Did this get approval from Attorney General Mukasey? Was this an independent decision by FBI Director Mueller?
I think that was it. You just hit on it right there. I think the FBI has been operating largely independent. I mean, a lot of these investigations of Cunningham and of Ney went on while Gonzales was the Attorney General, but he ultimately had no role in the investigations. They had basically cut out the political staff and the career civil servants, and the FBI investigators and prosecutors were the ones who carried this out. And they acted as the true independent professionals that they should be and did not allow the political influence to stop them from engaging, even while remember Pete Domenici and other senators on the Hill were making calls to the prosecutors and trying to tell them to stop their investigations, but these independent-minded career staff were going after.
Yeah. One other element in the game inside the Beltway there, the FEC, that's the Federal Election Commission, and our friends over at CREW set up a new website to try to draw attention to the way it's basically been rendered ineffective because it doesn't have a quorum right at the height of the campaign season. That's what the agency is supposed to ride herd over. And there are various deals going on, but they seem to revolve around the troubled nomination of Hans von Spakovsky. And in our election protection segments, we've talked a lot about Spakovsky, actually. And he's a guy who really shouldn't be confirmed, Faz. Are we going to be able to get these nominees brought up for up and down votes separately, or is the six-pack going to be forced through by the Bushies?
I think it's a good question. It's an open-ended question. I don't think that they've quite figured out whether they're going to allow these FEC nominations to go through, at least on Harry Reid's side. They haven't figured it out. But Spakovsky is the one that is preventing the whole process from really moving, and the reason is because he's been an architect of a lot of the worst voter suppression activities of the last few years, particularly the Georgia and Texas and yeah, I think he was involved in Indiana. I'm not entirely sure on that one, though. But, you know, he has been the one engaging and helping facilitate voter ID laws that would prevent and suppress the vote.
Well, we saw that vividly in Indiana for the primary this week when a group of nuns at St. Mary's College near Notre Dame who were working as poll workers realized at that point that many of their fellow sisters did not have proper identification to vote.
Did you? I don't know if you saw the latest in this episode, but one of the nuns, Sister Sandy Schwartz, of the Franciscan Sisters of Mary, said that basically criticized the Supreme Court's decision. And you know, the Supreme Court just decided that that the Indiana voter ID law should be upheld. And she said, you know, this is going to keep a lot of our loved ones from being able to vote. And I was glad to see these nuns getting politically active and making a sharp criticism of the Supreme Court.
Well, maybe a bishop, or is it Cardinal Scalia, will take note of how these Catholics were prevented from voting. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir, talk about the politicization of the EPA and the war on science by the Bush administration. You got a question or comment? We'll take your call toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
In the Monterey County Courts, there are 8 criminal cases for every 1 civil case. That means we need a judge who's an expert in criminal trials. Mark Hood is the only candidate who has 19 years' experience as a criminal prosecutor. He has an unmatched record for integrity, fairness, and knowledge. Mark Hood is endorsed by law enforcement, including the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The Retirement Specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show coming out of your speakers. And we thank you for that selection. We're talking with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress.
She guided me with science.
Why, thank you, Tom Dolby. Well, and if we extend this metaphor, the Bush administration is so blinded by science that they all wear heavy sunglasses to block those ultraviolet rays. And there's just a new indication of it, Faz, in an exchange at the Senate this week, where Stephen Johnson was taken to task by the normally mild-mannered and circumspect Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, who compared Johnson to Alberto Gonzalez. The last few times Mr. Johnson's appeared before us, he's been less forthcoming, as evasive and unresponsive as Alberto Gonzalez. That's a really mean comment.
And Johnson hasn't bothered to appear before Congress. You know, he was supposed to appear before Congressman Waxman's committee this week, and magically he had back spasms, which they announced the day before, and they said, well, he's got back pain, so he can't show up before Congress.
Now, those back spasms, were those caused by a remote control device controlled from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but one of my colleagues, Brad Johnson, I have to give him credit. He's a blogging on the Wonk Room, which is our new public policy blog. You can read it at wonkroom.org. A couple of weeks ago, he called Stephen Johnson the environment's Alberto Gonzalez. And at the time, you know, the narrative, we were trying to talk about the narrative of this individual at the EPA who is politicizing his agency and putting loyalty to Bush above country, just as Alberto Gonzalez did. And we were talking about the California decision and the Supreme Court's decision to turn over documents from the EPA, and the EPA has refused to do so. So we were starting to create a narrative, and it wasn't quite catching on just yet, and then it hit. Last week, the EPA fired a deputy administrator up in Michigan. Her name is Mary Gady. She alleged that she had been fired for political reasons, and we said, there you go. I mean, that is the U.S. attorney scandal part two. We published a post on that, and the Senator's White House staff saw that, and the next morning he was out on the Senate floor talking about the fact that this is deja vu all over again at the EPA, where you have politicized firings, you have a politicized agency doing the bidding of Dick Cheney and George Bush, and it's about time that it's all being brought to light.
And earlier this week, we talked with Dr. Francesca Griffo from the Union of Concerned Scientists, who confirmed, as you report in the Progress Report today, that the choke point where a lot of reports were scrubbed and speeches were edited is the Office of Management and Budget in the White House. And you got to scratch your head and say, science, budget, they're a little working overtime there. Laird in Eureka. Laird's got a comment. Go ahead, Laird.
First of all, I knew the CIA had a heart attack machine. I didn't realize they had a back spasm machine now. Anyway, I just wanted to let your listeners know that there's a magazine called New Science printed in the UK. Faz, you may be familiar with it, or Peter.
Never seen it.
It's very good. I trust them. Very short and to the point. They don't flame anybody or blame anybody. They just give you the facts.
Just the facts,
New
Doctor.
New Scientist.
Okay.
UK.
New Scientist, and do they have a website?
I'm sure they do. It's a monthly magazine. I don't know what their website is, to be honest with you.
All right, Laird. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And Faz, on the way out here, I watched The Daily Show Wednesday night. John McCain was there. And Stewart started to ask him a question about his pastor. And I thought we were going to get Hagee and Parsley out there. But instead, it was a trick question about how George Bush is hurting John McCain more than Jeremiah Wright has hurt Barack Obama. I was a little let down by that. Were you?
Yeah, I mean, John, this is a 13th interview with John McCain, and none of them have been terribly impressive.
Thank you, Faz.
For
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. And by the National Pest Management Association. Don't let the bedbugs bite, and don't let the termites eat you out of house and home. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. There's a new study out associating too little sleep, or, for that matter, too much sleep, with various health problems, including obesity. We'll talk about that after this for Emerson. Qatar's 25 trillion cubic meters of natural gas might be the clean-burning answer to the world's energy needs, but Qatar Gas still has to get it to the world. And that sort of thing is why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so that Emerson can supply the cutting-edge technologies that enable Qatar Gas to precisely control four of the largest natural gas production facilities ever built. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved. Let me ask you, who do you depend on to help protect your family's health and property? Well, the doctors, of course, they're important. Firefighters, police officers, and others. But how about pest professionals? They're your best defense against household pests like bedbugs and mice and termites. Pests like these contribute to asthma, to serious illness, and to property damage. To learn all about household pest threats and to locate a qualified pest professional near you to help protect your family, visit pestworld.org. The new large-scale study of 87,000 adults over a two-year period, conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics, concludes that getting the right amount of sleep is important.
The message is, you know, try to shoot for 7 to 8 hours.
Charlotte Schoenborn, the study's author, found some unexpected correlations.
People that sleep less than 6 hours are more likely to drink large amounts of alcohol. In this case, we used a measure of 5 or more drinks in one day.
And not only do they seem to drink too much,
31% of adults who slept less than 6 hours were current smokers, compared to only 18% of adults who slept 7 to 8 hours.
And I don't mean to rub this in, but they're also fat.
People that sleep less than 6 hours a night are much more likely to be obese and much more likely to be smokers, both of which put people at great risk.
I don't mean to be critical or anything, but really.
You're more likely to be obese, you're more likely to be a current smoker, and more likely to drink heavily.
Could be what you really crave isn't another drink, smoke, or bite to eat, but another hour's sleep.
People should not poo-poo inadequate sleep. I think people tend to just say that they are tired and, you know, bemoan it, but not do anything about it. And perhaps paying more attention to the importance of sleep is something people ought to pay more attention to.
Go back to bed. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Frutti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Frutti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Frutti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Next on the Peter B. Collins Show, we take a look at freedom. Freedom in a relative sense. With all the pronouncements that George W. Bush has made about the terrorists hate us for our freedom, and the export of freedom at the point of gun barrels around the world. You may be a little confused about what it means, what we have, and what we've lost. There's a new book from Freedom House out. It's called Today's American, and it asks the question, how free are we? Little Steven, member of the East Reed Band and a former member of the cast of The Sopranos, wrote the theme music for Sopranos, too. It's one of my favorite songs from Little Steven, and it's called Freedom, from a CD called Freedom No Compromise. Thomas Melia joins us from Freedom House, and as we mentioned, this new book has been published called Today's American, How Free. Tom Melia, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be with you today, Peter.
I want to direct people to your website at freedomhouse.org. And first up, tell us the history of Freedom House and also how you define freedom.
Well, Freedom House was created in 1941. It's America's oldest international human rights monitoring organization. It's created by Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of FDR, in partnership with Wendell Willkie, who had just been the Republican candidate against FDR in the 1940 presidential election. So in an interesting display of bipartisanship, they came together in the spring of 1941 to launch an advocacy organization that became Freedom House to promote American engagement in the world in defense of democracy and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And after the big war, Eleanor Roosevelt, as you may recall, went to the United Nations. And in the first 7 years of the United Nations existence, she was the chair of the Human Rights Commission. And it was that commission that drafted, under her supervision, the Universal Declaration on Human Rights that was adopted on December 10, 1948.
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Universal Declaration of Human Rights will celebrate its 60th anniversary this coming December. And that is the template that we use to examine the state of freedom in the world. Over the years, the organization has done a number of different things. But one of the things we're best known for is our annual surveys of freedom around the world. We do our flagship publication is called Freedom in the World, and it is a narrative description of the state of political rights and civil liberties in every country in the world, including these United States, that we do every year. And we score countries in several dimensions. And so there's a database, which your listeners will find on our website, that can look at the way that we've tracked freedoms waxing and waning in all the countries of the world throughout these 3.5 decades that since we've been doing this particular survey.
And is that database here at the link under publications, Freedom in the World?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's right. And you'll see our most recent edition of that, where we, in January, we published the data on our description of freedom in all these countries around the world through the end of 07.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some graphs in there that show rising and falling in different countries. And one of the things that we, as I say, we do a report on the U.S. in there, but like all the other reports, it's brief, necessarily so when you're doing 200 country narratives a year.
Right.
And we thought that it was time in this 60th anniversary year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we should do a more in-depth examination of the state of freedom in the U.S. Because, as you said, the current administration has been promoting freedom worldwide in controversial ways, and because of the anniversary, and because the United States is, after all, the most important country in the world in many respects, has the biggest impact on countries around the world. And so we thought, While we're asking other countries to step up and move towards freedom, that we should look at how well we're doing here in this country.
And I'll note, I've just really had the book for a couple of hours, and I read your introduction, and I've glanced through the chapters of it.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense of it is that this is not a screed. This is not one that's driven with a political agenda. But you're attempting to even-handedly evaluate the level of freedom that we enjoy in this country, and in some respects compare it to other countries, but mostly compare it to our own history.
Right.
And in that respect, you could tell from the introduction, Tom, that I feel we've lost a lot in terms of our various freedoms in this country. And you do, in a detailed way, describe those changes. And often, though, I guess I'm a little frustrated. Here's one where you talk about counterterrorism and civil liberties. And you close the section by saying, similarly, there have been no efforts to curb political dissent in ways comparable to what transpired during both World Wars and the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
A series of huge anti-war rallies have been held since the invasion of Iraq, with no significant obstruction by federal or state authorities. Now, I would generally concur with that statement. However, the efforts of those opposed to this war to express themselves have been sharply curtailed, for example, by the so-called free speech zones that are set up to prevent George W. Bush from ever coming in contact with those who disagree with him. The way that activists have been investigated variously by the New York Police Department, who sent detectives to Indianapolis to investigate a vegetarian group that they thought might come to New York and disrupt the Democratic National Convention, and we know of teams from the Pentagon that have gone out and either infiltrated or monitored peace groups, not direct action groups or those that might be responsible for any kind of law breaking or even advanced civil disobedience, but going after Quakers and others. So in that sense, I think this summary here is incomplete.
Well, it may be, and one of the reasons we're putting this out for people to read and react to is precisely to spark this kind of conversation, to say, well, here's our take on it. What's your take? What can we learn from each other so that we'll all understand better what the nature of our freedom is and whether we can defend it or expand it? I guess I would say, in defense of the way we concluded that section, that if you look back at what happened in the Vietnam War era with massive investigations of thousands and thousands of people by the FBI, we're not seeing anything like that now. And critics of the war are finding their voice, and it gets plenty of amplification in the media and in different kinds of events and so on. So, I would disagree that people are not able to criticize the war or oppose the war. In fact, the 2006 elections were hugely impacted by opposition to the Iraq War. I mean, the majority in the Congress in both chambers changed hands, in large part due to people's opposition to the war in Iraq.
Another component, though, of this, Tom, is the media, and you have a great section of the book about that, and I tend to concur with its findings, that we have particularly the commercial televised media in this country, that have barely reported on those of us opposed to the war, even when we march in the ranks of hundreds of thousands, and that that kind of marginalization many people view as either collaborating with or maybe even in some way directed by the government.
Yeah, I don't think that it's directed by the government. Whether news judgments are made that don't reflect one's own preferences, I think, is always a tricky matter. But the fact that you have a radio show listened to in several states of this United States, is a reflection of the fact that voices can be heard. You have a chance to reach an audience. People can call in here and have their voices heard by thousands and thousands of people.
Well, but if I may, I'm going to turn up the volume here.
Okay.
This is what the right wing sounds like. And this is what progressive radio sounds like. We are outnumbered by 9-1, Tom. So, yes, I have free speech, and yes, I am able to express myself and offer points of view, and with the exception of that white truck that was parked outside of my office for a while, I have not been in any way contacted by the government or monitored to my knowledge. And yes, I think it is interesting that while I have many criticisms of the Bush administration, that to date, the ability of people to speak up and offer a dissenting point of view has not been curtailed by law enforcement or by government action, but there has been a kind of, how can I put it, a fairly broad-based set of limitations imposed by the gatekeepers of our media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you make interesting points, and I don't disagree with you. Let me answer in two ways. One is that let's also keep in mind that much of what we know about the government's efforts to infringe on our civil liberties through the warrantless eavesdropping on all of us, apparently, the problems in the implementation of the FISA provisions in the last few years. Most of what we know about that we learned from the mainstream media. From the New York Times and other outlets that were contacted by a few handful of whistleblowers. They investigated. They put together some big, splashy stories. And that's how the rest of us know about this. So the mainstream media that's, you know, the gatekeepers, as you describe them, I mean, they've also continued to play a role here. Maybe not, you know, everything that you and I might wish they had done, but it's still there. And that's one of the meta findings of this book is that we have these efforts by the government, and they continue to this day. Flying over here to the Bay Area from Washington, D.C. yesterday, I noticed that yesterday's New York Times has a story about new efforts to monitor by our government to eavesdrop on the lawyers who are defending people that are detainees at Guantanamo,
right.
Not just to monitor the actual meetings that they have when they're in Cuba to try to eavesdrop on what they're saying there. But then when these lawyers go back to their offices in Atlanta and Chicago and San Francisco, the story is that they're now having all of their telecommunications monitored. And now that's a serious slippery slope. You know, there are people who would justify the intrusions on civil liberties at Guantanamo as necessary in the interest of national security, and we can debate where the line should be drawn between national security and civil liberties. But once you get this is like getting well beyond that arena to start monitoring all the communications of lawyers who, among their many clients, they're doing a pro bono case for somebody at Gitmo, and then they come back to their law practice, and all of their communications with all of their clients are being monitored. Well, that's a slippery slope that's getting into a whole other kettle of fish. And again, the way we know about that is some of these lawyers working with the New York Times have, you know, documented this situation and are bringing it to light.
And in contrast, Tom, I would just say in a much firmer way that every one of those intrusions, including the communications, the privileged communications between attorneys and detainees at Guantanamo, are flatly illegal.
Absolutely. Unconstitutional, even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. I mean, as I say, what we try to do in this book is to document the places where we think, and I think you and I would agree on this, where the government has overreached, where the assertion of executive authority in the name of national security has made unacceptable intrusions on the civil liberties that we and many other people enjoy.
We're going to take a break here and continue with Tom Melia. He's with Freedom House. They're on the web at freedomhouse.org. This new hardcover book is out, Today's American, How Free, published by Freedom House and available from Roman and Littlefield Publishers. Tell me how free you feel. Feel free to call and tell me. 888-5-PETER-B. Your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency for quality control and keywords like Osama. See how free I am? I can say that on the radio. And so far, nobody's come knocking on the door. We'll continue. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients.
For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
9 p.m. Saturdays, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. Quantum minds find the relevance in all of God's creation. Join us with notable guests Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, father of American nuclear navy, Albert Einstein, Robert John Kennedy, from the perspective of the quantum mind. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Link, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Tom Melia is with us from Freedom House on the web, freedomhouse.org. And the new book is called Today's American, How Free, published by Freedom House. It's a series of essays by a range of individuals, and it covers the whole waterfront of freedom. We have talked about some of the real critical, what I would call flashpoints, of the last few years, and you do cover civil liberties, the efforts against terrorism and what that has brought on, immigration issues, racial inequality, sexual issues, the press, religious liberty, academic freedom, the political process, money and politics. So I give you high praise for defining freedom in the broadest possible ways. Is there a number you can put on it, Tom? How many indices of freedom you covered in this book?
Well, the book consists in 10 major chapters, each of which looks at one of those themes you talked about, religious freedom, press freedom, etc. And then we have the overview essay that tries to pull it all together. And this is consistent with the way we look at countries around the world, with a few tweaks to address specific things about America, like the big focus on immigration and how we treat immigrants, both legal and illegal. But let me say, if I could, in addition to the civil liberties issues that we talked about a moment ago, we do come out quite critical about our political system.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that in the 21st century, we as voters can't be confident that our votes will be counted accurately or that the voter rolls are reasonably up to date. as a national scandal. It's interesting that the United States remains largely immune from the learning that has gone on around the world in how to organize election administration more transparently and fairly.
Well, and in addition to that, Tom, I certainly agree about the corrupting influence of money in politics and the way our efforts to rein it in have been unsuccessful. We labor under the Buckley versus Valeo Supreme Court decision that equates money with speech.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see that, in a year like this, John McCain, who wrote the McCain-Feingold law, did backflips at one point to borrow some money that was secured by money that he could have gotten from the matching funds, but he didn't take it.
Right.
And now he's trying to force Barack Obama into agreeing to accept limits on funding his campaign to the federal contributions this fall. But Obama's looking at it and saying, look, I've got 1 million donors. No individual owns me, but why would I unilaterally disarm and subject myself to a disadvantage against John McCain? And so it's a real complicated picture.
Oh, yeah.
But it does amount to an organized form of bribery.
Well, and it's just to add a little fuel to your fire there, we don't even have a National Election Commission that can make a coherent ruling on whether McCain is in compliance with our campaign finance regime.
That's right. The FEC, they're still wrangling over some nominees to it. But,
right. And even if they had nominees, it's not an actual election commission that actually administers elections.
Mm-hmm.
As we've now famously learned in the last few months, we have at least 110 different presidential primary systems in this country. Our elections are organized by each party in every state in a different way. If Jimmy Carter or other international monitors were going, to the United States in the way they do when they go to Nicaragua or Russia,
mm-hmm.
they would find this system completely out of bounds.
Yeah.
It'd be impossible for an opposition candidate to figure out how to run a presidential contest in 55 different venues in the way that we oblige candidates to do here.
Well, and we claim that every citizen has the right to vote, but we've seen various tactics used to suppress participation.
Exactly.
And some of them surfaced vividly in Indiana this week with the recent Supreme Court decision that notably prevented a bunch of nuns from voting. And those are people who I just might think would be a little bit above committing voter fraud.
You'd think.
And we saw that in both Indiana and North Carolina, the voter rolls were scrubbed. In Indiana, as many as 1 million people were pushed off the rolls, and they showed up to vote, and their name wasn't on the list. They were given a provisional ballot that may or may not ever be counted.
Right.
And so we have a whole range of problems with our system. And that said, it's probably one of the best in the world.
Well, there's the rub. Notwithstanding all these problems and all these conspicuous flaws in our political system, there is a level at which it fundamentally works in that new actors constantly come onto the political scene. Incumbents and majority parties are constantly turned out of office. When voters mobilize, they can affect outcomes. As we saw in the 2006 elections, as we're seeing in the Democratic primaries this year with such phenomenal turnout all across the country. So as flawed as it is, there is a way in which it fundamentally can work as well if people choose to grab hold of it.
Rich and Salinas, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with Tom Melia.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can I applaud your guest, first of all, for his work in exposing our loss of freedoms and all the work he's doing. I think that's fantastic. I just want to real briefly point out some of the terminology you used about the slippery slope in reference to the Gitmo lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate to see us use that term. If you're talking about maybe lawyer-client privilege between the Gitmo, prisoner and an attorney, I could see maybe saying gray area or slippery slope, but you mentioned the fact that there would be monitoring, the actual communications between other clients, and that's clearly stepping over the bounds of the law. I don't know the letter of the law myself, but it's clearly over the intent of the law. So I hate to see us use that term slippery slope there. I just wanted to point that out.
All right, Rich, and also the book does point out some of the ridiculous things that have occurred where documents that have been in the public domain for years have been reclassified as secret, and we've seen the incredible steps taken to prevent disclosures about the extent of the telephonic eavesdropping by the NSA, and there's this case we've been talking about. John Eisenberg, the attorney, has been on our show many times, but this group actually came into possession accidentally of a memo which courts prove they've been wiretapped. And when they took it to court to say, look, we do have standing, we can sue, the FBI took the document back, and the courts say, well, we can't rely on your memory of that document, so the case may not go forward. It's a very interesting set of catch-22s that have been used to try to roll back some of our critical freedoms. Well, Tom Melia, I want to thank you for joining us today. And again, freedomhouse.org on the web, the new book, Today's American, How Free, published by Freedom House. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, nice being with you, Peter.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. Get the podcast at peterbcollins.com. With Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Barack Obama's not claiming victory yet.
I'm not the nominee until I'm at the convention and receive the nomination.
The U.S. military gets in position to help the cyclone victims.
Our interest here is totally non-political. It's to try and help the people of Myanmar.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama is on the cover of Time magazine, which dubs him the winner of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. But Hillary Clinton hasn't gotten her copy.
There are some folks who have said, well, we needed to end this before we got to West Virginia. Well, I don't think so.
She campaigned in Charleston, West Virginia, while Obama spent the day in Washington, acting, if not like a winner, at least a front runner. He pointed out that Clinton is still in the race and predicted they'll split the remaining primaries, leaving neither one with a clear victory.
The sooner that superdelegates make their decision, the sooner we'll have a sense of who the nominee will be, and the sooner we can focus on John McCain.
Which might explain his surprise visit to the House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Obama spent more than half an hour on the House floor, showing up unannounced during a vote when all the members were milling about, greeting Democrats and Republicans. Earlier, he met privately with a group of Democratic members, all of them superdelegates. Though the delegate arithmetic gives him an all but insurmountable lead, Obama told reporters Hillary Clinton remains a formidable candidate who will likely do well in the next two primaries in West Virginia and Kentucky.
Clinton has released a letter she sent Obama asking him to join her in an effort to resolve the disputed primaries in Florida and Michigan.
She's trying to hold, you know, put him up against the wall and say, look, there's a bigger issue here. These votes aren't being counted, and that's a big issue for people in Michigan, people in Florida. This is in the fall, these are two big states that are going to matter in November, and to ignore their votes now is not setting a good precedent for November.
CBS News political director Steve Chigaris. Now this.
On three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors, and it's stainless steel.
I know. Oh. I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Right now at the Home Depot, get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more. It's a great way to use your tax rebate. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 14th in U.S. only. See store for details.
So the government's issuing stimulus checks for everyone. What are you going to do with yours? Because every marketer in America wants a piece of it. Restaurants want you to eat it, department stores want you to wear it, and brewers want you to drink it. At Advance Auto Parts, we want you to enjoy it. So no hard sell. Just a little reminder. Protect that four-wheel investment. Because if your car's not working, neither are you. That's it. Have fun. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
Nearly a week after a powerful cyclone hit Myanmar, the first international aid workers have been allowed into the country with supplies of food, water, and medicine, all desperately needed. CBS News has spoken with an eyewitness inside the country.
Many people are still in areas that are inundated with salt water, and so fresh water is an absolute necessity.
In addition to an estimated 100,000 dead, he says a million people might be homeless. Offers of U.S. military assistance have been spurned. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is frustrated but flexible.
If we cannot get in directly, we would be prepared to work creatively with others in any way we could to help.
The military government of Myanmar did ask for U.S. satellite imagery of the affected areas, and that was provided. The Pentagon is skeptical of a claim by the Iraqi Defense Ministry that the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, Abu Ayyub al-Masri, has been arrested in Mosul. But even if it's true, CBS News terrorism consultant Michael Scheuer says it wouldn't mean very much.
Al-Qaeda has proven time and again that they can replace good people who are lost, captured or killed, with equally good people. If he was captured, this will be a setback for al-Qaeda, but it's not one that really affects the strategic situation.
Al-Masri took over al-Qaeda in Iraq after U.S. forces killed Abu Musab al-Zarqawi 2 years ago. After inspections of U.S. Army barracks worldwide, an interim report says several facilities need immediate attention, and 13 soldiers have been relocated due to life, health, or safety concerns. All this was touched off by the video Ed Frawley made public after visiting his son at Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
I'll be very honest. I think the problem here lies more with Congress than it does with the Army. I think if the Army had the money, they would have new barracks.
Now the Army has earmarked $250 million for urgent repairs. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
Your lovely tree attacked by insects. Backed by Bayer's proven science, Bayer Advance created Tree and Shrub Insect Control, the no-spray product that protects trees for 12 months. Just mix and pour, and your tree is shielded, roots to top. Now strengthen and beautify with Protect and Feed formulas. We don't hate bugs. We just love trees. Help Bayer Advance and the Arbor Day Foundation restore our national forests. Visit bayeradvance.com/trees for more details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we talk military and veterans issues. Dick is our official contributor here on the PBC show about military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps, then was in the Army and retired at the rank of Major. He's a food, wine, and travel expert with a radio show about that called The Tasty Planet. And he's the lucky guy who follows the Peter B. Collins Show every weekday night on KRXA 540. That's our flagship station in Monterey, California. We've got a lot to talk about military and veterans matters today, and you're welcome to join this conversation at any moment, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're giving Scott a little time to catch his breath because he just ran up the steps there into the studio. And, Scott, are you breathing normally now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, good. I wanted to start off with an article that I found in the newspaper this morning. And this is an indication of a form of blowback. And I think those who support torture, who support the Bush administration's detention, unlimited and without charge of people at Gitmo and other places, will interpret this one way, and I have a very different interpretation. The story is that Hashyar Zebari, a Kuwaiti. Oh, wait a minute, I just got the name wrong. excuse me, I don't want to give you the wrong person. Abdullah Salim Ali Al-Ajmi is the person in the picture here. The other guy is the Iraqi foreign minister, and I apologize, I read the wrong part of the story. So Abdullah Salim Ali Al-Ajmi is a Kuwaiti man who was originally detained in Afghanistan, spent 3 years at Guantanamo Bay, and was released to Kuwaiti authorities in 2005. He had returned to Kuwait there, and the court there released him, saying that they really couldn't find a serious reason to continue to keep him in detention. Now, according to U.S. military reports, he returned to Iraq via Syria, and last week in Mosul, he was identified as one of the suicide bombers in a string of deadly attacks in that northern Iraq city. And so this is being presented, I believe, as a message to the American people that Guantanamo is a good place for the very bad, bad, bad actors that hate our freedom and want to attack us. And that Mr. Al-Ajmi should never have been released, even though we couldn't prove anything against him, and he was never charged in the 3 years that we detained him there at Guantanamo. And, Scott Dick, I have a different take on this, because it's entirely possible that Mr. Al-Ajmi was radicalized by his experience at Guantanamo. If he got the regular treatment, he was subjected to stress positions, hot and cold, loud music, maybe a little waterboarding, maybe not. We can't be sure about that. But all kinds of psychological tricks would have been played on him. And we've seen the indication from defense attorneys for Jose Padilla and others that these people have lost their minds as a result of the treatment that we've given them at the Supermax detention facility. So I just wanted to raise this because I think that many people will look at this story and say, see, Bush is right. We've got the worst of the worst, and they deserve anything we give them at Guantanamo, and they don't deserve any legal rights, including the right to be charged, the right to counsel, and the right to a free and fair trial. So what are your thoughts, Scott? Do you see it the Bush way or my way or maybe a third way?
Peter, it's Limbaugh's talking point that's the worst of the worst. He had no basis of any kind of fact or even circumstance to make that claim, and so the argument started off wrong. They held this guy incommunicado for 3 years without the visits from family or lawyers or anything else. 3 years, and most of them in solitary confinement with all of the things that you talked about, deprivation of senses and outside environment. And now, he didn't say who he blew up, if he blew up Shia or Sunni. That was my other curiosity. But it doesn't matter. And then, without charge, they let him go, without charges. Sent back to Kuwait, and he's released. Duh. My only reference point, Peter, is when I was at the University of Kentucky, when I was still in the Army, I guest taught ethics at the ROTC program. And one of the case studies I used was the My Lai Massacre. And there's a tremendous amount of information that most people have not accessed, but is readily accessible. One of the pieces of information that's highly informative is the survey that the South Vietnamese and the American government did in that series of villages. My Lai was actually five villages and the surrounding countryside. And one of the things they tested for was radicalization. They were trying to figure out if this was a good hit, if this was a hotbed of communist guerrillas, et cetera, et cetera. What they found out was this was not a hotbed. This was not a center of Viet Cong activity. They wanted to be left alone. And in fact, the surveys reported that some outrageous number, like 70 or 80% became sympathetic to the communists after that massacre. And they were more likely to engage in some kind of activity to support the Viet Cong struggle against the Americans. And that's what was reported in American and South Vietnamese government surveys. So I can just sort of link those two together and say, of course he was radicalized. Of course he wanted paybacks on somebody, and he really had nothing to lose.
Well, and I still await real solid evidence that, you know, the DNA or other, you know, forensic evidence that they found that links these Mosul suicide bombings to this former Gitmo detainee. I'm sorry, but I'm skeptical. I can't believe what comes out of the Pentagon. And when
skeptical
I
skeptical of the Pentagon, Peter, come on.
Just,
what's your faith?
Just a nitty bitty.
Was it some retired general that made that announcement about the about him being a suicide bomber?
Commander Scott Rye, spokesman for the American military, Dateline Baghdad.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a retired general who's acting as an independent media analyst.
No, they've suspended that program.
Uh-huh. Do you believe that too, Peter? I'm skeptical.
No, I don't.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm sorry. I can't believe that either.
So the idea that they could take a perfectly innocent person, because apparently since the military had nothing, zero, zilch, nada on this guy, they had to let him go. And to save face, they turned him over to the Kuwaitis, and we know that's a total democracy that governs under the rule of law. And, of course, they had to let him go, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had nothing on this guy, and they made him into something. And it's a tragedy all the way around. It's a tragedy for us as a nation. It's a tragedy for American taxpayers because we paid for it. It's a tragedy for his family and, of course, for the victims of the bombing.
And here's one of those wobblers, all right? This is a comment that can be interpreted depending on your bias. Commander Rice said, it was rare to find Kuwaiti foreign fighters and suicide bombers in Iraq. Although 90% of all suicide bombers in Iraq have been foreigners historically, Kuwaitis have comprised less than 1% of foreign fighters in Iraq. Now, you can spin that to say, this was the 1%, and he was so evil that we never should have let him out of Gitmo. The other side of that is that he was so radicalized that he overcame the kind of cultural factor here that allows them to say that most Kuwaitis don't come to Iraq for suicide bombing. Again, my interpretation of it is that we pushed this guy over the line.
Peter, I don't see suicide bombers as evil. They've chosen to become weapons, and they have to have a tremendous amount of I don't really know what to call it, because it plays into the right wing for me to say anything less than evil doers, maniacs, that kind of thing. They have a cause, and it's the kind of situation where you ask for volunteers and these guys volunteer, and women too, and that should frighten people when Muslim women volunteer to become suicide bombers. That means there's a tremendous amount of uncountable anger there that we haven't even begun to tap into. And it has nothing to do with us and our way of life and anything else. It has to do with what we've done to people like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, torture, that's the reason countries, civilized countries, don't torture, because it'll come back to us in multiple. It'll come back in, it's not linear, it's exponential.
You're right. Absolutely right. And here we have, I'm loading a clip here to play in just a second, and this is Congressman Mike Pence of Indiana. A little background: on April Fool's Day in 2007, he took a stroll with John McCain through a marketplace near Baghdad. I think it's in Baghdad. And, of course, they had helicopters overhead. They were surrounded by hundreds of armed troops securing their perimeters, and Mike Pence famously said, "Oh, this was as safe as going to a flea market in Indiana," which is where he's from. And
well, that's what they named that day after him, Peter.
Yeah.
April Fool. That's what they named it for.
So now we have a comment from him with the false choice presented that we either can do waterboarding and the kind of torture interrogation that the Bush administration embraces, or what he calls the Oprah Winfrey methods. Let's listen.
Interrogation techniques are preferable. And even more reliable in the long run than stress methods. They raise the question, though, what about the hard cases?
What about
like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was a mastermind of the September 11th attacks in this country? How would you respond to the observation that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed probably is not susceptible to relationship building methods. And I can tell by your grin, you acknowledge the somewhat absurd thought that you could move people who have masterminded the death of more than 3,000 Americans by Oprah Winfrey methods. So if you could respond
now,
to that.
What is an Oprah Winfrey method? Is that where you are allowed to come on and jump on the couch?
Right.
I don't know what that means, but this is such a kind of false choice. And, in fact, what we have been told, we don't know everything about the interrogation of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He was waterboarded, but apparently what induced him to talk was a trick scene that they played on him where they substituted alleged Saudi interrogators for the Americans. And he piped up right away and said, well, call Prince Bandar. He knows me. Call Prince. And that is what we've been told is how he, quote unquote, cracked. In either case, what Congressman Pence is talking about here is a whole lot of baloney. Scott, we got to run to a break, and we'll continue in just a moment. Scott Dick is with us this entire hour, and you're welcome to call with questions, comments, or issues related to military and veteran factors, matters. The number toll-free is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Mark Hood for Judge is endorsed by the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Research Association of the Central Coast, and the union representing court employees. Mark Hood is the only candidate for judge who has 19 years' experience with major criminal prosecutions, plus significant civil experience with a leading firm. Tough on violent crime, smart on prevention. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start off in Monterey. An accident that's been there for quite a while now. Southbound Highway 1 at 218. An injury accident. Car flipped onto its side and is blocking the left-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene. And, of course, some heavy traffic as you approach the area. For the Santa Cruz Mountains, Soquel San Jose route at Redwood Lodge Road. Injury crash with two cars that collided head-on. The entire roadway is currently blocked. Emergency crews on the scene. For Salinas, San Benancio Road at Highway 68. Two-car crash. That's off to the right-hand shoulder. And got a couple of calls this afternoon about heavy traffic northbound 1 leaving Monterey and heading towards the Sand City area. If you're stuck in that traffic, you see what the problem is, let us know, 415-901-7990. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to talk with a soldier who served in Iraq in the Army, thought his duty was all done. And Colby Bazell got a notice in the mail recently. The Army wants him back. We'll talk with that veteran coming up just about 10 minutes from now on the PBC Show. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, and Julie's on the line live from Sacramento. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Peter B.
Good to hear from you.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice live.
Well, it's my pleasure. Tell us what's on your mind today.
Well, I was hoping that Major Scott Dick was still there.
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Oh, I thought you had said goodbye to him.
No. He's reporting for duty. He's on duty.
Okay. On Senate Bill 1350, Veterans Benefits Enhancement Act of 2007, they want to give the Filipino veterans that worked with the Americans during World War II, they want to provide them benefits, but that is by cutting benefits for other U.S. veterans. Now, I've spoken to Richard Burr, a Republican from North Carolina, and he proposed that the smaller pensions for the Filipino vets to increase the benefits of the Afghan and Iraqi veterans. I also spoke to Senator Daniel Akaka from Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
chairperson.
Yeah.
And there, he feels like, you know, we're in the middle of the war, and at this point, you know, we're taking money from one vet to provide for the other vets. How come we can't do the thing where ask not what your vet can do for you, but what you can, our country can do for our vets?
Well, good question. Scott, go ahead.
I've never heard that before. I don't know where the money would come out of to pay the Filipino veterans. I think it's a disgrace that those men who were considered to be soldiers, you know, and if we wait long enough, Peter, they'll all be dead before we can give them anything. Mm-hmm. Why we would deny them pensions other than we're a cheap nation when it comes to after the fact? When we give a dollar to a vet, it doesn't take a dollar away from another vet. Everybody is apportioned pensions based on, you know, funding, but the money has to follow the number of people claiming the pension. It's, I think, a smokescreen to say, well, if we give them pensions, we'll have to take money from other veterans programs. No, you just add more money to the program.
Well, and we can write blank checks, right out the window for Iraq, but not for the veterans who serve there.
And we can give a giant tax giveaway to the top 1% of this nation, but we can't give some elderly Filipinos who earned through their combat support of the United States these pensions. And we're talking peanuts here, Peter.
Right.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Julie, thanks for bringing that up. It is a sordid situation where you're playing one group of vets off against another.
And don't buy that, Peter, sorry, don't buy that, Julie, that they'll be taking money away from other vets. That's not true. It's never been true. I think that's a right-wing smear tactic to get people to say, oh, well, we don't want to take money away from the Iraqi veterans, so let's not do anything for the Filipinos.
And the Bush administration and John McCain are holding firm against Jim Webb's new GI Bill. And this is just unconscionable. Again, these are the people who ordered us to support the troops, but they don't take their own advice.
Well, that's another photo, audio opportunity for the Bush administration to divide this nation. And when they can divide it, then they can conquer it. That, I think, only the right wing part of our nation falls for that. If you, they look no deeper than that statement. Okay, so if you want to support the troops, how are you supporting them? Well, we're bringing them back to substandard barracks with raw sewage on their bathroom floors, for example. Not in the toilet stalls, but in the bathroom floors where they actually take a bath.
Right.
And it's thanks, you know, Walter Reed is another beautiful example of Donald Rumsfeld contracting out maintenance for a facility and then nobody watching the contractors or trying to do it on the cheap. Or they gave it to a low-bid contractor because it wasn't KBR Halliburton.
Yep, that's unfortunately too true. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick after the break. Colby Bazell, the Iraq veteran who's been recalled, he'll join us and we'll see how he's feeling about this. You got a question or a comment? Bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Should she stay or should she go? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Sure, Hillary Clinton doesn't want to quit. I know something about that feeling, having dabbled once in politics myself. Running for office is a grind, but it's an intoxicating grind. People cheer. All the cameras turn toward you when you enter the room. The coverage may be nasty, but at least they're talking about you. You count. You're making a difference.
The superdelegates have to make a decision. Who best to take on John McCain? She wins Florida. She wins Ohio. She wins Pennsylvania. She wins Michigan. You win those states, you win the general election.
But we're not seeing the usual triumphant email bulletins on the vast amounts of money rolling in, probably because vast amounts of money aren't rolling in. And she has to face the fact that she may owe her slim victory in Indiana to talk show nemesis Rush Limbaugh, who prodded his Hillary haters to crash the Democratic primary and prop her up as a punching bag. Operation Chaos. But there is something she could do, short of quitting, that might throw a little chaos back at the Republicans. The unintended consequence of prolonging the Democratic fight is that John McCain is invisible. So suppose Hillary stays in but stops trying to hurt Barack Obama and instead aims at John McCain. She and Obama are far more compelling on TV than McCain is, so the two of them together would see the Democrats sucking up twice as much media coverage as he would. And those clever crossover Republicans would simply be buying more free airtime for Democratic stump speeches. And there's a lot of time to fill in the next month. Now this.
It seems there's no stopping bugs and the unseen germs they may carry from invading your home. Until now. New Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer has a unique dual-action liquid formula that kills up to twice as many pests, plus reduces 99.9% of the germs pests may leave behind. One application keeps new bugs out for up to 12 months. Always read and follow label directions. Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer. Better science, better results.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention. And I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking military veterans issues with our contributor, Scott Dick. That's Major Dick to you. Peter B., if you'd like to call into the program, you're welcome to do so. We'll be happy to hear from you. And, Scott, you have a little follow-up on the discussion about the bill Julie mentioned, which is either 1315 or 1350 in the Senate.
1315, and also it's been refiled as S-57, the Filipino Veterans Equity Act of 2007. And it is asking for $100 a month for Filipino veterans living in the Philippines. And unfortunately, Senator Weidstance from Idaho is the one who's blocking it.
No kidding.
He first agreed to $100 is okay, and now he doesn't want to give them anything. And I don't know, there is no justification for this other than, you know, the guy's never spent a day in uniform, and so he doesn't know what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm really glad Julie pointed that out. And it's amazing. It's one of the things that I appreciate doing a show like this, that information doesn't just come out from us and beam to listeners, but is returned as well. And I appreciate that because, like you, Scott, I had not heard about this previously.
And it's 10% mortality rate a year. So if they just stall a couple more years, and most of these vets, like my father, he'll be 85 this month. They're in their 80s and their 90s. And to not give them anything and let them live in poverty is disgusting and is beneath the dignity of the United States of America.
Well, and it suggests that they've been denied their pension rights since World War II up till this point.
Exactly, and they've been fighting for it, and it's disgusting. I don't know what else to say. It would cost $2 billion, and according to this administration, $2 billion is nothing.
Thank you, Scott. I want to set up this next piece this way.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them.
There's a powerful op-ed column in today's, that's Thursday's, San Francisco Chronicle. The author's identified as Colby Bazell, an Army infantryman who served in Iraq. And Colby Bazell writes, "When I voluntarily enlisted in the Army, I remember asking my recruiter about the fine print on the contract about being called back up to active duty once my enlistment was completed. He assured me not to worry, that every contract said that, and it would only happen if World War III broke out." That was a little over 5 years ago. After serving in Iraq, I elected to use my GI Bill to enroll in a photography course at San Francisco City College. On my way out of my building 2 weeks ago, I checked my mailbox and found a letter from the Department of the Army with important document printed in all caps on the middle. I immediately felt sick, so I went back to my room, locked the door, grabbed a beer from the fridge, and stared out the window for a while. Colby Bazell joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show right now. Soldier, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this notice that you received and, you know, just how it made you feel.
Pretty sick, and I remember just feeling numb. The sun was out. It was a sunny day in San Francisco, which is, at times can be uncommon because it's usually foggy here. And I looked outside, it was sunny. I wanted to go outside and experience it. And right there was a letter in my mailbox, Department of the Army, and I had a feeling what it was about. And then I opened it, and it was orders to report to Fort Benning, Georgia. And they gave me like 4 weeks' time. And it says right there, Purpose, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and gives you all the information of what you need to bring, where you need to show up, and, yeah.
But, Colby, you've already served.
Yeah, I served. I volunteered a year after. It was 2002. I volunteered for the infantry. I wanted to go over there and experience it. And I went over there. I served. I was never a problem. I never talked ill or really spoke out or anything like that. I just did my time and wanted to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I...
Yeah, go ahead, Scott. This is Scott Dick. Go ahead.
Colby, did they come registered mail?
Yeah, I did, but some reason, like, they left it there on top of my mailbox. Like, I didn't sign for it, but they left it there.
Then why didn't they just go right into the shredder?
Well, it's not that complicated. Like, a lot of people are saying, like, it's more common, saying I shouldn't just show up. But if I don't show up and pretend I never get the letter, I mean, they're not throwing guys in jail for not reporting back to active duty. What happens is you'll lose all your benefits, your GI Bill, which is what I wanted to use to go back to school and kind of live on, and plus the VA hospital, plus the VA home loan if I decided one day to buy a house. Like, I lose all that if I decide not to go.
Is that what the letter says?
No, but from looking into like people who've been experienced, who have some kind of knowledge in this, this is what the overall consensus is.
Have you checked with the GI rights hotline? Because you know there's a lot of smoke out there, and I know for a fact when they called back a bunch of IRRs in I think it was 05, fully 60-something% of them didn't show up, and there was absolutely no consequences. So I don't know where you would fit. I would call the GI Bill hotline and ask them specifically what their cases are instead of, you know, sort of thinking maybe there's some other, you know, I don't think they're going to reach out and touch you. But that's just me. I would definitely call the hotline and talk to them about it, talk to the pros.
All right. All right. Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
So, Colby, what is your sense? And I don't want to put you on the spot here. If you have plans that you don't want to announce to the world, feel free to be discreet. But are you inclined to preserve your rights and report for duty? Or have you reached a point where, as an individual, you don't want to return to a war that perhaps you don't support?
I'm still conflicted. I definitely don't want to return back to a war that I don't support. But at the same time, you know, I mean, the whole reason, like, I joined the military is, like, I come from a long line of people. My family have joined the military. My father was in Vietnam. I've got a bunch of relatives that were in the Navy, Air Force, Army. And it was kind of a family tradition that, like, it was just sort of the sense of when your country's at war, you enlist and you go serve your country. And I did that. And now by me not going back, I mean, the whole purpose that for me joining is I didn't want to be, you know, a draft dodger, didn't participate in the war when your country was at war. And now by not going, I'll now spend the rest of my life feeling like a draft dodger or feeling like a, you know, that I didn't serve my country when called upon. So I've got to deal with those issues and figure out, sort them out and figure out what I want to do.
And Colby, are you familiar with the case of Lieutenant Aaron Watata?
Right, a little bit. I mean, I was also stationed at Fort Lewis, and that happened right when I returned. My unit got redeployed, like, you know, 1 year there, 1 year back, 1 year there. And he was supposed to deploy with them, but from the little that I know, I think he got out of it by being a conscientious objector.
Well, he actually went to trial, courts-martial, and now I can't recall the exact outcome, but he was not ultimately forced to deploy.
Really?
Do you remember, Scott?
It was a hung jury, and then they were going to try to retry him. It actually wasn't even a hung jury. At the very last moment, when it looked like they're going to be able to present their case and whether this is an illegal war or not, the judge pulled the plug on the case and said that he was not rightfully informed of his rights. And, of course, they couldn't retry him because it was a bunch of crap. Colby, you know, you enlisted and served in a conflict that is not a war, and it never was a war. It was a preemptive strike. It's the first time we've ever used a preemptive attack doctrine in our nation's history. And now it's an occupation in the middle of a civil war. You served, I think you did everything with the absolute best intentions. And if you had a conversation with one of the 9,000 who had been stop-lost, how could you, I don't know how anybody could lay the guilt trip on you, for example, the guys that are involved in the stop-loss, that somehow they didn't do their duty. It's the government who has not lived up to its side of the bargain. They have a responsibility to field a fully ready force, and to go into a conflict without a fully ready force is not your fault. It's the nation's fault. It's the political leaders and the unelected bureaucrats in D.C. It's their fault. It's not your fault. I don't know how you could even, well, I do have, being a responsible person with, my family is, my father fought in World War II in China. My brother went to Vietnam. My one brother didn't serve at all. And then I spent 20 years in. This is not the kind of conflict where, you know, the nation, there's 8 million men in uniform. There's a very select few of people who are in uniform, and everybody else is getting a free ride. I think you did your duty.
And on that note, Colby, in the article, the op-ed that you wrote, you argue that if we had a draft right now, and if the pain of serving in Iraq were spread across the entire population, including rich people and people with political connections, things might be very different. Tell us what you thought there.
Yeah, that's the only one of the reasons why I think the war is perpetuated for as long as it has been, because you know, I've been back for 3 years. It's like no one here, unless you're in the military or have a relative in the military, you're totally not affected at all by this war. It's totally convenient. It's somewhat invisible. No one really cares about what's going on over there. It's life goes on. And, you know, people can live their whole lives just oblivious to the fact that we have troops over. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that we still have troops in Afghanistan.
Well, we're sending more, actually.
Yeah, and if people started getting this letter in the mail, maybe the reality of, like, hey, we've got people over there will hit home and people start going, you know, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Colby, tell us briefly what your experiences were in Iraq. You served there for one tour or two?
One tour. I was in the infantry in the Striker Brigade. I was an M240 Bravo fully automatic machine gunner, and we were stationed mostly in Mosul. So we were there for the second year of the war, so that was when, like, the insurgency was happening. And, I lost track how many combat missions I've been on, but it seemed like every day it was at least 2 to 3, sometimes 4 missions a day.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, do you have another question or comment? Go ahead.
Well, I have the number here if you want. Did you ever write hotline number?
Okay.
You ready to copy?
Yeah.
877-447-4487. Keep us informed on how this goes, Colby. I'm really interested.
Yeah.
Colby, if you would, my email is simple, peter@peterbcollins.com. And I'd love to just follow your progress. And if you'd like to check in with us, we do this this show every week at this time. And, you know, I would, without trying to prejudice you or persuade you in one way or the other, I just think that you're an honest person who has done his duty. And I would support you in any decision that you decide to make about how you respond to this recall to duty.
Okay. Well, cool.
All right. Yeah, and keep in touch with Scott, too, as you can tell. He's a great guy. Brian, is this caller for Colby? Okay. We got a caller for you. It's Thomas in Santa Cruz. So, Thomas, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Colby Bazell and Scott Dick.
Yeah, hello, Peter and Scott and Colby. I just want to emphasize with Colby's very difficult situation. And one of the things that I heard Colby say was that he, you know, his idea was to serve his country when he went into the military, and he has a family line that has done that for a long time. And one could argue that serving your country right now is not to go to fight an illegal war. And I realize that's a very difficult thing, given the financial things that you are in fear of losing. And I just want to share that I'm 56, and I was drafted in Vietnam time, and I tried to serve. I tried to get in the reserves, and they wouldn't let me. And so as they had already drafted me. And so I just made a decision, and I told them I wasn't going to go, even though I was drafted twice. And they kept threatening me, and they had me talk to the FBI, and the FBI said they were going to come after me, and the U.S. attorney had charged me. And then they never came after me, and 2 years later I got a cancellation of my induction order. So I just wanted to share that. It wasn't easy for me to do. It was very scary for a long time, and I know you're in a very difficult situation, but I would just suggest that serving your country may be not going.
Thomas, thank you for that. Colby, do you have a reaction?
I agree with them. That's definitely one of the things I'm thinking about on what to do. I mean, I've lost a lot of sleep since receiving this letter, just trying to figure out and talking to as many people as possible on what I should do. And, I'm scared to death of what's going to happen to me if I show up to Fort Benning and opt to not go.
And what date are you supposed to report, Colby?
In about a week.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for talking with us today and sharing your story and the obvious pain that you're experiencing. And we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
All right. Stay in touch. That's Colby Bazell. As you heard, he served in Iraq in 03 and 04, completed his duty, and now he's been recalled, supposed to show up at Fort Benning within the week. We'll take a break and return with Scott Dick. Lines are open if you have a comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we have continuing problems for Highway 1 this hour. From Monterey, northbound 1 at 68, new crash with two cars. That's off to the side. Southbound 1 at 218, an earlier injury crash that had the left lane blocked for over an hour. That's been gone, but that's contributed to a lot of our heavy traffic, very heavy on the southbound side. Thanks to Kiwi and Tawny for letting us know that northbound 1, pretty slow from about Aguajito and Monterey all the way out to Del Monte. Santa Cruz Mountains, Soquel, San Jose Road at Redwood Lodge Road, we have an injury crash with two cars. They collided head-on. The roadway still blocked up there. An emergency crew is on the scene. 17th, Santa Cruz Mountains. We have no problems to tell you about. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Now, if you spot a problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. In the Free Speech Zone next hour, we'll be talking about the sad case of Bernie Ward, a San Francisco radio talk show host who was expected to change his plea to guilty today in federal court. We'll talk about that coming up in just about 10 minutes away. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters, and we're joined by Ginger from Eureka. Welcome, Ginger. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead and turn that radio down so you don't get confused.
I just turned it off.
Beautiful. What's on your mind, Ginger?
Well, I've been listening. This man is being called back for another tour, and there are different ways to serve your country. And one of the things that we can do is to protest, is to say, this is, I won't go. But in addition to that, I've been there. He's been there. And there's such a thing as all of us having to serve. He's put in two tours already. And a friend of mine has just been called up for his third tour after having been out of the service for 2 years and now expecting a, you know, he started a life. And they're calling him back.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of calling people back, well, I think we should be getting out of there. But if they're going to be sending anybody back, call up some other people who haven't been there yet. If everyone had to go there to serve, maybe we'd work a little harder to get people out.
Now, Scott,
it's not fair to get them out, to keep calling them back and saying, you have to do more.
Thank you, Ginger. I agree. Scott, what are the legal rights here, and what kind of a contract does a conscript sign? And essentially, can the Pentagon call you back for almost any reason?
Well, it depends on if he's National Guard or Reserve. What Colby, he's a little bit different. He's an active duty soldier who's served his time, got his honorable discharge, of course, that's the quotation marks, and he has an 8-year commitment. And any time in the, it always had been in time of national emergency, and the president, of course, all he had to do was declare it to be a national emergency. So apparently he's done that, the same thing that he's been able to invoke stop loss. So once he gets to his 8-year point, he's done. But there was a whole scandal in 05, 06, Pete. I think we talked about it, where they called up 50,000 IRR and about 14,000 actually showed up.
Yeah.
A bunch of them didn't even respond. And, of course, they don't track them down. They don't have the mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, we could argue the contract in court, but nobody is going. It's an unenforceable contract. I mean, in other words, it's weighted in the favor of the government, especially in this administration with the court, the way they packed the courts.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to say, you know, he's been out active duty for 3 years, and you know he's it's pitiful.
All right, go ahead, Ginger.
Then I'm going to tell my friend to just not show up, because he served two tours of duty. He was discharged honorably, and they're calling him back.
And he's
just sick about it.
I would incur every bureaucratic hassle they would have to go through. In other words, if he didn't sign the registration, you know, if it was sent registered mail and he didn't sign it, then he could pretend he never got it, make him send it again, take a vacation. You know, put a shredder outside of his post office, his mailbox. Just any number of things to stall him. They're going to be looking at the, you know, there are a few people doing it. It's really funny, Peter. They scare everybody into thinking that, for example, if you go AWOL, absent without leave, the FBI and the state police and they're going to be helicopters looking for you. You know, normally they catch these kids completely by accident. You know, they get them at a traffic stop, and of course the kid shows them his driver's license, and he comes up on a, you know, a warrant, and they arrest them, and mm-hmm. a lot of times they take them back and put them on the plane and send them home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott, I think we have just enough time here to load up this sound bite from John Bolton about the potential for a war with Iran.
Okay. I haven't heard anybody say that we should right now go in and bomb those camps. Are you concerned about the retaliation that could come against Israel if such a move happened?
Well, I think we obviously have to be concerned about taking such an action. But the situation that our forces face in Iraq now is that they are being attacked. They are in danger from Iran. Iranian-led, Iranian-financed, trained, and equipped terrorists. So that the question really for the security of our forces is whether we simply allow this situation to continue or whether we signal to Iran that we're just not going to accept it.
So, you know, it's always a chess game, as you know better than anybody. So, you know, if you do that, and can you imagine a scenario where President Bush would do that before the end of his term?
Well, I think so, definitely. You know, the other possibility is to tell the Iranians to stop. We've done that already.
So that's all we have time for. But John Bolton is saying, I think so, definitely, that Bush might attack Iran before the end of his term. Isn't that encouraging, Scott?
Peter, it's just the safe haven, the same arguments they made to go into Cambodia and Laos and any place else they want to attack. It's the old safe haven argument. Mm-hmm. It didn't play then, and it's not going to play now.
Scott Dick, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Mine too. Talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama says it's not over until the Democratic convention. After all, Hillary Clinton hasn't conceded anything.
She is hugely favored in West Virginia and Kentucky. She will win those states. But we'll probably win our share, and so we'll probably split the remaining contest.
That would leave neither one with enough delegate votes to win the nomination, so Obama's urging superdelegates to make up their minds. Today he made an unannounced visit to the House of Representatives, whose Democratic members are all superdelegates. Clinton, meanwhile, campaigned in Charleston, West Virginia. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
Top advisors say Hillary Clinton will defiantly remain on the campaign trail.
There are some folks who have said, well, we needed to end this before we got to West Virginia. Well, I don't think so.
She's not seeking a deal to step aside, like a spot on the ticket. She's still here, they say, to argue Barack Obama will get trounced in November.
West Virginia is a test. It's a test for me and it's a test for Senator Obama.
Her claim? Working-class whites won't vote for Obama.
And to make that point, she hopes to win a big chunk of West Virginia's white blue-collar vote. The military rulers of Myanmar are leery of allowing U.S. forces to deliver disaster aid, but today they finally did allow some international humanitarian aid workers into the country, where last weekend's devastating cyclone may have killed 100,000 people and left a million homeless. CBS News reporter Celia Hatton is in nearby Bangkok, Thailand.
This 21-year-old cyclone survivor escaped the country one day ago. She's hiding her identity, fearful the military regime would punish her if they knew she was speaking out against them.
Doing some social works is forbidden in our country because that is against the will of the government.
To the generals, these wasted days were a grim calculation. Letting in massive aid could threaten their hold on power, and by all calculations, their power remains far more important to them than their people. Celia Hatton, CBS News, Bangkok.
Since the deplorable barracks at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, were widely publicized, the Army has been inspecting its barracks worldwide. Some require immediate attention. Ned Christensen is spokesman for the Army's Installation Management Command.
Most of the problems were found at Fort Polk, Fort Gordon, Fort Bragg, Fort Stewart, West Point, Fort Lewis, Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii, and Aberdeen Proving Ground in Maryland.
Some of the Army's barracks date back to World War II. 13 soldiers were found to be living in such unsafe or unhealthy conditions that they've been moved. Oil crept closer to $124 a barrel today, but the stock market had some gains. The Dow Industrial's up 52 points to close at 12,866. The Nasdaq nearly 13 points higher at 2451. This is CBS News.
Today is the day to celebrate mom. It's the JCPenney Mother's Day sale. Get generous doorbusters Friday, 4 p.m. till close, and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. 50% off all Worthington jackets, pants, skirts, blouses, and sweaters. Plus, 50 to 60% off all fashion and sterling silver jewelry. JCPenney is a smart place to shop. Go to jcp.com now to see everything on sale. Stores open early Saturday, 8 a.m. JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer ends May 10th.
It's time to turn off our TVs and turn on our senses. Time to dial up the daisies and kickstart the chrysanthemums. Time to uncoil the hoses and unleash the roses. With Liquifeed Advance, the new feeder and liquid plant food from Miracle-Gro makes feeding your plants as easy as watering and helps you remember there's a big, beautiful world out there. Miracle-Gro, it's grow time. This weekend, get to the Home Depot and get growing.
Now here's a reliable man. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen has the story of a New Orleans man who didn't let a $97 million lottery jackpot change his priorities.
Why did it take local contractor, 73-year-old Carl Hunter, so long to claim his Powerball prize?
I had quite a few contracts that I needed to complete, and it took a while to finish up the work that I had.
So instead of becoming a mega millionaire, he finished the work for the people he promised he'd fix their homes, and now he says he's going to retire.
We don't even know what we're going to do.
He and his 62-year-old wife, Diane, say they have no immediate plans for the cash. They've taken the one-time payout and after taxes, take home nearly $34 million. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
The Timpanogos Cave National Monument in Utah in the mountains will open as scheduled on Saturday. The trail leading to the caverns was blocked by record snow, but workers spent more than 1,000 hours shoveling through 15-foot drifts. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
On three. One, two, three. Oh, I'm not going to miss anything about this fridge. It's got no room, and the new one's got those French doors, and it's stainless steel.
I know. Oh. I cannot wait to get an ice maker.
It's time to show your old refrigerator the door. Right now at the Home Depot, get 10% off all appliances of $399 or more. It's a great way to use your tax rebate. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through May 14th in U.S. only. See store for details.
So the government's issuing stimulus checks for everyone. What are you going to do with yours? Because every marketer in America wants a piece of it. Restaurants want you to eat it, department stores want you to wear it, and brewers want you to drink it. At Advance Auto Parts, we want you to enjoy it. So no hard sell. Just a little reminder. Protect that four-wheel investment. Because if your car's not working, neither are you. That's it. Have fun. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Around our ears, I turned up the radio. I can't hear it. When I got to the house and I called you out, I could tell you had been crying. I've
been behind the microphone in the radio business on and off for over 30 years. One of the things they've drummed into me over the years was that you never ever talk about other stations. You don't talk about other hosts because, well, it's bad for business. And besides, it just encourages people to maybe change the channel. Well, we're going to break that rule today in this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Because, frankly, I don't care about competitive issues. And I believe that most of the people within the sound of my voice not only know who Bernie Ward is, but they probably have some sort of fond and relatively deep connection with the man who, for more than 20 years, worked at the powerhouse talk station here in San Francisco, KGO. Bernie Ward was on the late night shift for many years, but before that he was a news reporter. And for at least 15 years he hosted the God Talk show on Sunday mornings. And because of the power of that station, I know that even my listeners in Portland and Seattle are familiar with his work, his voice, and his progressive viewpoints. And there's a great deal of pain that I feel and that I could sense in the voices of KGO's hosts. Since December, when Bernie was indicted on child pornography charges, the talkative people, whose job it is to stir up controversy and talk about almost anything, have been forbidden to discuss the Bernie Ward case. A lot of good reasons for it. I have no criticism of management for that edict. In many respects, it was to try to prevent any kind of poisoning of a jury pool in the event that Bernie's case went to trial. It was scheduled to go to trial in June. There were some pretrial motions that were attempted in April. And I can only conclude that Bernie and his attorney, Doran Weinberg, a very accomplished criminal defense lawyer, concluded that the best way out was to plead guilty and cut a deal. And today the deal was presented to Judge Vaughn Walker in federal court in San Francisco. There's a little bit of a wrinkle here that I'll explain. In court on Thursday, Bernie Ward admitted to distributing child pornography in a plea deal that is likely to send him to federal prison for at least 5 years. There were originally 3 counts in the indictment. 2 will be dismissed in exchange for his guilty plea. And it's 1 count of distributing child pornography. Now, the judge was prepared to accept Ward's guilty plea today, and if he had, Bernie would have been sent to prison immediately. Instead, there's some consideration here. I'm not sure exactly what form it took, but the judge set sentencing for Bernie for August 28th. And his attorney Weinberg said federal prosecutors intend to ask the judge to send the former talk show host to prison for 9 years. Under federal law, the minimum mandatory term is 5 years, although we have seen one exception in Washington, D.C., a similar case, a reporter who claimed he was working on, he was doing research for a radio story. He ended up being sentenced to 6 months in a halfway house. Ward, age 57, has admitted that he downloaded and sent pornographic images of children on the Internet in December of 2004. Said he'd been doing research for a book. But federal law has no exception for journalists or anyone else who claim that they were not doing it out of a prurient interest. The law is draconian, few exceptions, and it's linked to what I consider to be very severe and un-American minimum mandatory sentencing. So the judge can, in occasions, do what's called a downward departure, but most judges don't. A couple of points of disclosure. I used to work at KGO Radio. I was never on their full-time lineup. I substituted for people and worked nights and weekends. I was there before Bernie Ward came aboard. And I do know him a little bit. We served together on the union board, the AFTRA board in San Francisco for a number of years. And I have a high regard for him. I don't know him that well personally. But I have taken the initiative to phone Bernie and talk with him 3 or 4 times since his indictment last December. And while I have no proof, I have to tell you that I continue to believe that there may be some political angle, some political motivation to this prosecution. Because anybody with a computer and internet access has been spammed with so many porn offers. And I've received them uninvited, with you know, things that I find just tasteless and stomach turning. Even things that I found deeply disturbing. Bestiality, incest. I get plenty of spam offering me pictures of teenage girls. And so on almost any hard drive, there could be evidence of receipt of links to pornographic sites. And if you or someone else using your computer curiously clicked on one of those links, you may have violated the law in the same way Bernie did. Now, there's some very ugly transcripts of his internet chats with a woman posing as a dominatrix from a town near Modesto. And that's one of the interesting angles here. If a crime did occur as alleged, it was intrastate. But because the internet is part of the telephone system, I guess it is construed as a federal issue. Even though this transmission of child pornography did not go beyond California state lines. So initially, I was pretty strong in my defense of Bernie Ward and in the fundamental right to innocence until proven guilty. And by his plea today, he has admitted that he broke the law. I do not know what his intentions were. And if you go to thesmokinggun.com, you can read, like I did, the transcripts of these internet chats that were released by the police department near Modesto. And they're ugly. It's unnerving to read these messages typed by the father of four, a man who publicly is deeply religious, a man who's been so generous in raising money for the poor, for the hungry, for the homeless. But if you read it, you will come away disturbed, like anyone else, that in these exchanges, and Bernie tells me that there were, you know, pages and pages, these chats went on far longer than the transcripts that you can read online. That may be. But in what we can read, it is quite disturbing. You read Bernie hopefully fantasizing, but he describes to this chat partner who's playing the role of a dominatrix that there are sex games going on in his house involving his teenage kids and their friends. Now, as I read that, and knowing Bernie and admitting my own bias, I said, well, this is clearly fantasy. And when I talked to Bernie after those transcripts were released, he underscored that. He said, Peter, if anyone believed that I was sincere in these sexual comments and expressions, they would have taken my kids away. And that has not happened, and the laws in California are very strict about that. And that's something I can't explain. But it is a point of contention in his favor. And yesterday, KGO Radio lifted the embargo and permitted its hosts to engage with listeners and talk about this. I've heard only snippets of evening host Gene Burns and morning host Ron Owens. Clearly, they are very pained. And I respect both gentlemen for the way they have handled this. And so I turn to you and offer you an opportunity to talk about this. It's not easy, not for any of us who respect Bernie and who believe that as a voice of the left, that he was one who spoke for us on so many occasions. I'm really going to miss him. And frankly, as a fellow talk show host, his style sometimes really put me off. There were times when somebody would call up and agree with him, and he'd kind of turn on them, ask him a trick question, and then just beat him up on it. And I know that Bernie burned a lot of bridges. He was outspoken in a very aggressive way and was not afraid to step on toes. He was not afraid to really put his whole 300 pounds on somebody's toes or maybe even on their windpipe. And in the emails and phone calls that I've received about this since the story broke, I've seen some very hateful comments. People who have turned on Bernie because they didn't support his political views, and now that he's down and vulnerable, they're willing to kick him. Well, that's not my reaction, but if it's yours, so be it. My lines are open. Your free speech rights are insured. The First Amendment is in full effect. So feel free to tell me what you think. We'll go to the phones here right after a break. And my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You know the number, 888-573-8372. We'll talk about Bernie and his guilty plea here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge. Mark Hood has devoted his life to protecting communities from crime. With 19 years as a criminal prosecutor and significant civil experience, Mark Hood has handled thousands of cases, including murder, crime by gang members, kidnapping, and fraud. Praised by judges, fellow prosecutors, and defense attorneys alike, and endorsed by law enforcement. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA and definitely busy this afternoon. Santa Cruz Mountains northbound 17 after the summit. A truck lost a big metal box in the lanes, and now there's debris all over the place. May have caused an accident as well. Both lanes of Highway 17 at the summit are currently blocked. Look for heavy traffic in both directions as you approach the scene. For Monterey northbound 1 between Camino Aguajito and Del Monte Boulevard, we have stretches of slow traffic because of an earlier accident. Pacheco Pass eastbound 152 at Dinosaur Point Road, a broken down big rig that's partially blocked. block in the right-hand lane. SoCal San Jose Road at Redwood Lodge Road. Injury crash, two cars. It collided head-on, and the roadway still blocked in both directions. Highway 68, no stalls and no accidents to tell you about. And this is brought to you by Gold Bond First Aid Cream. Rash, skin irritation, or dry skin, reach for Gold Bond Medicated Cream for fast, long-lasting relief. It's the quick fix for almost every itch. Get Gold Bond Medicated Cream. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. And it appears the liberal voice of Bernie Ward will be silenced for the foreseeable future, as he pled guilty in federal court in San Francisco on Thursday to one count of receiving or sending child pornography. He faces 5 to perhaps 9 years in federal prison. And it's a very sad story, and one that I have to say hits me pretty hard, because I know Bernie, and because, I really had been hopeful that this case would have evaporated in some way or been dismissed in a pretrial manner. But as I mentioned, apparently the attorneys concluded that they could not make much headway against the evidence available and the draconian law that covers this issue. We'll take your calls now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dave in Eureka, welcome.
Peter, I very much appreciate you addressing this subject, and I share many of the concerns that you have voiced. We have recently discussed the reality, the fact that this administration is much into inflicting reprisals against those who would expose them and their corruption. And Bernie was just such a person. Now that's a voice that is being silenced, and that concerns me.
Yeah. And Dave, let me just point out that I have advanced the argument that there's a political component to this.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, the underpinnings of that are somewhat eroded. I've learned, for example, that this was investigated for 3 full years. The grand jury indictment was returned in September and then unsealed in December. And if you take a look at it just from the angle of the U.S. attorney who was in charge of the San Francisco office, Kevin Ryan, he was a Republican who was under fire and who did get fired. And presumably, if he had served up this case against Bernie while he was on the hot seat, perhaps he would have held on to his job. So at this point, I can't offer any real support for the idea that this is purely political. However, as I pointed out, there's so much porn out there, and so much of it has crept into all of our emails and our computers, that I have to feel that, Bernie's efforts to get these charges dismissed may have been aggravated by his status and his high visibility.
Well, Peter, what I know, and I think what you know, is that there are now these Patriot Act types, high-tech types, that can put whatever they choose to on your screen, your Internet screen.
Right, but Bernie has acknowledged that he had this material and he sent it. So he's not suggesting that anything like that occurred.
Well, I'm saying this. I know that it would be criminal to solicit some underage minor to participate in sexual pictures. I know that. And I believe it would be criminal to be the photographer filming such behaviors.
Right.
I'm sure of that. And I wonder, would it be criminal if one simply clicks the button and pops it up and then is either aroused, excited, enjoys, or whatever? Have they committed a crime?
And I understand your thinking there, Dave, and it strikes me as a victimless crime, because if the photographs already exist and the person viewing them had no hand whatsoever in their creation or, didn't solicit them, then, I think we're all vulnerable to that kind of a situation.
Right. If one were to simply view something that's already right there on the Internet, you had no part whatsoever in putting it on the Internet, but there it is, it pops up, and you think, wow, and you send it to a friend and say, check this thing out. Well, where has the crime happened? And you know, I'm convinced that this administration does terrible, terrible things to those who act to their detriment, who expose their criminality, and Bernie Ward was one of the best. In every way that he could, he fired a cannon directly at the criminals that now occupy our White House, and I think they wanted him had, and I think it's more than a coincidence.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call today. We're going to take a break and return. I'll take your calls. First, you have to dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you get a busy signal, send me an email. Let me know what you think. It's peter@peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to...
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're taking your calls about the plea deal of Bernie Ward. If you just joined us, Thursday afternoon here, Bernie Ward went into federal court. Judge Vaughn Walker accepted his change of plea, and in exchange for a guilty plea on one count, the other two counts related to child pornography, transmission and reception have been dropped. Bernie will be sentenced on August 28th and would likely report to prison shortly after that. There was some discussion, apparently. The news account doesn't tell us exactly why, but Judge Walker was prepared to accept Ward's guilty plea today, in which case he would have gone straight to prison, but the deal's been worked out so that it won't happen until the end of August. And this is the culmination of a very difficult period for Bernie, clearly, and for many of us who have wrestled with the issues of our appreciation of his work, our affection for him as an individual and for the generous things that he's done over the years, and clearly a political affinity. Bernie was permitted to be one of the two out liberals on the most popular talk station in San Francisco. And he held down the late night position there for many years, and with the great signal, the Clear Channel signal that KGO has, the entire western United States really had exposure to him over the years. So it's a very difficult sequence of events, and I welcome your calls if you want to comment on this at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Ben in Salinas is up next. Welcome, Ben.
You know what, Peter? I have been aficionado of Bernie for many years, and I've had to really strain my perceptive powers to see it my way. Dave, the previous caller, has it right. A lot of people in the government have not, these people have used that FISA Act to intrude on every facet of our privacy. Now, I won't allow computers in my house, but let me ask you something, Peter. Is it not possible for some entity, even if it's a government agency, to send you some kind of a message, even in the form of spam, and once it's been received into your computer, can you then not be prosecuted for just having that into your file?
Well, presumably, yes. That is possible, and that's what I've been talking about, that there is so much porn so widely distributed all over the web, and some of it is illegal. It's underage.
Somebody that's even looked at these Girls Gone Wild videos is probably legally as guilty as Bernie, because many of those girls, I'm sorry, beautiful as they are, I don't think that they're all 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would, you know what happened? They set him up. There has to be a group of people behind this trailer trash woman or this wonderful woman. I suspect the worst. But
well, Ben,
he was
Ben,
set up and
Ben,
Bernie made a mistake of dropping his guard.
Let me give you a little more information here. And if you go to thesmokinggun.com, they have the transcript of these chats between Bernie and this woman.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to pretend that based on these, I know everything. I believe there's a great deal we don't know about this whole case, and we probably never will know.
Absolutely.
And because of my own background, I'm the kind of person who resists passing judgment on others.
Yeah.
And who often will extend the benefit of the doubt. And,
know that the Sabbath sissy is having orgasms over this.
Oh, I'm sure he is. But here's my point.
Yes, sir.
That Bernie engaged in these online chats with this woman, and he argues that he was essentially trying to win her trust.
He dropped his guard.
And he was going to try to meet with her, to interview her. He described her to me as somebody who was a hypocrite, because here she is engaged in online sex conversations and posing or role-playing as a dominatrix. And he, you know, role-played as well. And his argument is that, you know, you shouldn't confuse my fantasy role-playing with the real Bernie Ward.
Can you imagine
let me finish, Ben, hold on, Ben, let me finish. So, in the exchange that you can see online, she asks first for a photograph. She, you know, initiates that discussion. Now, perhaps there are other portions of the chat where he was the first to bring it up.
Yep.
But when she asks for a photo, there's something in there where he says, oh, I love photos, and I'll be happy to send you one.
Yep.
And so, you know, did she set him up for that? I cannot say for sure.
I suspect yes, and he once again, he dropped his guard.
Well,
eternal vigilance,
and,
Peter.
And Ben, here's something interesting, and this is secondhand, but let me relay it to you.
Yes.
That I listened intently to Gene Burns and his comments. This was the first he's been permitted to talk about this on the radio Wednesday night. And one of the things he pointed out, which is consistent with my knowledge of Bernie Ward, is that he was reckless. And that he often would challenge authority, including the bosses at the radio station and government officials, in a way that was heavy-handed and that invited response or retaliation.
Yep.
And so you can almost see, you know, in his persona, his personality, the seeds of some of these issues. But I, for one, you know, and the other thing I'll tell you is that Channel 7, which is no longer owned by the same company as KGO Radio, they are going to unload an I-Team investigation report today or tonight, which delves into Bernie's past and will bring out, presumably, some embarrassing issues about the period of time when he left the priesthood.
Yep.
And so now, you know, the gloves are off, and I think we're going to see some ugly material. And again, you and I are not going to be in a position to prove that it's true or false. But his reputation will likely never recover.
President Obama.
Say again?
Then we must focus on a hopeful future under President Obama.
Okay. Well, I thank you for that, Ben, and
thank
I appreciate
you,
your call today. Next, we go to Connie in Monterey. Hello, Connie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. You know, there's something wrong with this, and I remember it from a couple of months ago when I heard you talk about it. When he was allowed to have the bracelet on his ankle and go to these court proceedings and such, he was still allowed to be home with his children and to take them back and forth to school.
That's right.
And when my husband and I listened to you and talk about this, and all of a sudden a light went on in my head, and I looked at my husband and I said, there's something wrong with this prosecution. If there was something wrong with Bernie, and there was something really wrong with Bernie, there's no court in the state of California that would have allowed him to remain at home with his children. There just isn't.
I understand your point, Connie, and as I relayed a little while ago, Bernie made that argument to me in a conversation on the phone I had with him after those transcripts were released. And I understand it, and it tends to support for me his contention that these online chats were simply role-playing and fantasy on his part. And, you know, his argument is that he was trying to win the trust of this woman so that he could interview her for this book that he has described. And I do agree that if he were considered by the federal prosecutor as some sort of a risk, they would have called Child Protective Services. I believe, you know, they would be in the position of a mandated reporter, where they had no choice
right. But
to refer this to CPS. And, you know, you are correct, your observation is correct, that no effort was made to remove his children from his custody or remove him from the home.
Right. Hello?
You're on.
Oh. I just don't believe that Bernie, I know that we all have skeletons in our closet. And so I'm sure that these are bad things that are going to come out about the reasons why he left the priesthood. I have no doubt about that. But I also think that he was probably doing what he says he was going to do. He was going to write a book or an expose or whatever. But I think that, just like Ben said, he let down his guard. I think that he probably was too... involved in what he was doing to see that she was luring him in. I think there's probably a political means to this also, but I just think the whole thing is kind of queer. I don't mean that in the homosexual sense. I didn't mean that, but I mean it's something about it is just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate you giving us a chance to air all of our thoughts and stuff on the air today. I really appreciate that because I really love Bernie, and I will miss him terribly, just terribly. Maybe he'll get a job with XM when he gets out.
Anything can happen, and I certainly hope that Bernie does have a future. But clearly, if he goes to federal prison for even the minimum 5 years, he'll be in his early 60s when he gets out. And in any profession, it's very difficult when you're that age and when you're an ex-con to find meaningful employment.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Randy would give him a chance. Okay, thank you very much, Peter.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You for the call, Connie. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines open if you'd like to comment on this. 888-573-8372. Annie's on the North Coast. Welcome, Annie.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. So I occasion onto your program, and I generally really enjoy it. I'm a youth advocate up here on the North Coast in Humboldt County, and there is something that I do need to say, that
okay.
I don't know Bernie. I've never listened to his show, but I do understand that there's several callers who just have had an affinity for what he says and have felt like he's an important part of what's the movement towards something better for America. But I do need to say that child pornography in any stage is not a victimless crime. Hello?
I'm listening to you. You've got the platform.
And that every time a video or a picture, any sort of explicit material is shared again and again, there is a victim, and it's the young person that was exploited to do that. So whatever the case in discussing this one person's justice, please don't spread that to kind of a critique of the idea of child pornography as anything but a victim-full crime. You know, that really is something that I think a place you do not need to go.
Well, but
to make points
Annie,
person who probably is being unfairly manipulated by the justice system, which
mm-hmm.
unfairly manipulates the lives of a lot of people,
okay,
including the young
Annie,
people who are victims of
Annie,
things like child pornography.
Annie, I understand your point, and I would sustain it at the 90% level. My problem is that any kind of an absolute, even when it's dealing with something as disgusting as child pornography,
well, I understand that
is too extreme.
People can be pegged very easily with the stigma of a child molester, pornographer, or pedophile, and I've seen the damage that can do to families. I've seen that firsthand. As a person who works with young people who are in situations where they tend to be at risk
mm-hmm.
in one way or another, it's very easy for somebody to point the finger and say, child pornography, somebody really, even if that is absolved in the future, you know, that really is not what I'm calling about.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm calling about is to reinforce the idea that our justice system fails a lot of people. And some of the people that have failed the gravest are young people who are abused.
Annie, can we have a conversation here?
Yeah, we can. I just, you know, a lot of things have been said. I really want to say that.
Okay, I heard you. And I'm not disputing your basic notion, but we are in an era of the widespread use of the concept of zero tolerance. And there are levels of crime. There are levels of intent. And to put the possession or the receipt of child pornography on the same level as the creation of it, whether you exploit a child or take the photographs or
make... I would say that sending is a recreation of child pornography.
Annie, will you let me finish? My point here...
You acknowledge that?
You interrupted me. I'm trying to finish a point, and then I'll let you continue. My point is that there are levels of crime, and in a kind of hysteria that has been driven by political actors, we have passed draconian legislation that does not make a distinction between the levels of crime and the seriousness of the intent of the individual, the level of exploitation, and the level of profit-taking. And this is where I have trouble with the law and with the comments that you've made that are absolute. And that's where
Which part of my comment is absolute?
You said that any distribution of child pornography is not a victimless crime.
Well, it is not for the victim of the crime, for the child who is being portrayed. However, I do believe that, I mean, heck, I get a lot of spam too. But I think my main point is that in discussing this person's justice, justice is obviously really important to a lot of people. It's obviously touched and moved and said a lot of things that need to be said
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. I do think that it's really important to separate that from the young person who was portrayed. And I also do say that the recreation of child pornography through sending it, furthering its distribution, is in a way creating that. Because if it was on your computer and you threw it in the trash, or you just didn't open the thing like I often don't, and
mm-hmm.
just clear out the junk box,
right,
then that hasn't been viewed and it hasn't been recreated.
Mm-hmm.
Especially sending something again. That mm-hmm. is a recreation. For whatever judgment slips, for whatever reason,
Annie,
that is still
I don't dispute
creation.
That. My only point is that it is not the same level of crime and criminal intent of someone who generates that in the first place.
Well, it is the market that keeps that generation profitable.
I understand. I'm only trying to make the point that there are levels of criminality, and the law does not make those distinctions,
and
I disagree with that.
There's a lot of places like drug law where that's really important, where you have people going away for a lot longer for things like crack than for cocaine.
Right.
You know, I think I can see that in a lot of places, you know, but there that still, I think, doesn't change the point I'm trying to make. So
okay.
I've heard what you say. I don't know that it changes mm-hmm. the point that I called, which was simply to... just remind people that there is always a victim. There's always a victim, even when the picture has been taken, even when it's 10 years old. Recently,
right.
there was a young girl
Annie,
who was identified
Annie, I'm out of time. I'm 4 minutes late. I've got to go. Thank you for your call. I enjoyed our conversation. More calls next. Join me, 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA and definitely busy this afternoon. Santa Cruz Mountains northbound 17 after the summit. A truck lost a big metal box in the lanes, and now there's debris all over the place. May have caused an accident as well. Both lanes of Highway 17 at the summit are currently blocked. Look for heavy traffic in both directions as you approach the scene. For Monterey, northbound 1 between Camino Aguajito and Del Monte Boulevard, we have stretches of slow traffic because of an earlier accident. Pacheco Pass eastbound 152 at Dinosaur Point Road, a broken down big rig that's partially blocked. block in the right-hand lane. SoCal San Jose Road at Redwood Lodge Road. Injury crash, two cars. They collided head-on, and the roadway still blocked in both directions. Highway 68, no stalls and no accidents to tell you about. And this is brought to you by Gold Bond First Aid Cream. Rash, skin irritation, or dry skin, reach for Gold Bond Medicated Cream for fast, long-lasting relief. It's the quick fix for almost every itch. Get Gold Bond Medicated Cream. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
With gentleness overcome anger. With generosity overcome meanness. With truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes in front of the hour.
Sometimes you start feeling so lost and lonely. Then you find it's all been in your mind. Sometimes you think someone is the one and only. Can't you see?
Here's an email from Jeff in Pacific Grove on California's Central Coast on Bernie. Well, Peter, sometimes the best bait is illegal. Unfortunately, when you dig into every nook and cranny, you find a self-fulfilling prophecy. He's looking deep for a great story. She's hunting for bad people, both using learned skills. I can't see this working well for anyone. P.S. I'm terribly troubled thinking Bernie will be in that environment in prison for 5 long years at his age. Could be a threat to his life, even perceived guilt will get you in deep trouble. And in fact, in prison, child molesters and those who are considered to be predators are treated very badly by the other criminals behind bars. It's a very, very difficult situation that Bernie's facing. Bill's in Cleveland. Listening online, welcome to the show today, Bill.
Hey, Peter. Bill O'Reilly, man, Cleveland, Ohio, home of the stolen 2004 election. You know, this is really disturbing. You know, you get the Don Siegelman case, Elliot Spitzer. I don't know if you heard about the problems with Mark Dan in Ohio, the attorney general.
Yeah.
It all smells of entrapment and politically motivated prosecutions.
Well, the aroma is there, but Bill, you're closer to the scene there of Mark Dan. All the Democratic officials have urged him to resign and threatened to impeach him. He's admitted an affair that was inappropriate and a hostile work environment. What's the frame up there?
Well, you know, they had a big discussion on the local talk show here, and with Mark Dan, they're pouring through.
Bill?
And really the only thing they can come up with is apparently for public service employees, you know, elected officials, that there's some, you have to, you know, have a semblance of being squeaky clean, you know, having a, you know, can you help me with this?
Okay.
You know, you have to have some, you have to look good. You know, you have to be honest and upstanding citizen kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they really haven't found anything that any kind of law that he's broken. And once again, it seems like that they, you know, you dig hard enough, you're going to find something on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell you what, I wasn't a big fan of Mark Dan. I had Subodh Chandra in the primary, who I thought was a fantastic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former Cleveland law director, and he really knew his stuff. And the Ohio Democratic Party here, they said they set out their cards. Here's their list. These are the people you vote for, and Mark Dan was their guy.
All right, Bill, I'm out of time, but thank you for the call from Cleveland today. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hillary Clinton stayed on the campaign trail today.
I think we want to keep this going so that the people of West Virginia's voices are heard and their votes are counted.
She spoke at a rally in Charleston while Barack Obama went to Superdelegate Central. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Before a surprise glad-handing visit to the floor of the House of Representatives, Obama met with the so-called Blue Dog Democrats, fiscal conservatives, all of whom are superdelegates. He said they and other Democrats are concerned about divisions in the party as the primary battle rages on.
And I just want to assure them that whatever happens, we will be coming together.
Though the chances Hillary Clinton can win the nomination at this point seem remote, Obama said she is still a formidable opponent who will likely do well in West Virginia, the next primary on the schedule. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
That contest is next Tuesday. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is frustrated. He has Navy ships and Air Force cargo planes on the way to Myanmar, but the military government refuses to accept their help.
Our interest here is totally non-political. It's to try and help the people of Myanmar.
Last weekend's cyclone, by some estimates, killed 100,000 people and left 1 million homeless. The Myanmar government has allowed some international humanitarian aid officials into the country now with supplies of food, water, and medicine, but much more is needed. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker takes a look at what Americans are doing to help.
So far, the Red Cross has raised just $1.25 million for cyclone relief. UNICEF, $1 million. World Vision hopes to raise $3 million.
What aid groups are trying to do is get money directly to the people and bypass the military regime. I believe they're doing a pretty good job of it, but it's just not enough so far.
Thank you for your partnership in helping us.
So in Seattle today, World Vision manned phone banks.
Each gift of $100 will...
In Minneapolis, the wife of Baseball Hall of Famer Paul Molitor threw a fundraiser at her home.
They need our help, and they need to know that we care.
Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Eddie Arnold died today.
What's he doing in my world?
The singer was considered one of the pioneers of the Nashville sound that broadened country music's appeal and paved the way for artists like Kenny Rogers. Arnold had dozens of hits. He was elected to the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1966 and recorded his final album just 3 years ago. He would have turned 90.